Good morning. In our previous lesson, we learned that the world can see God through the lives of godly people as they allow their light to shine through good works. Matthew 5:14-16. The God, godly people, and godly morals needed by the world are so closely connected that we cannot have one without the other. Too often we meet people who claim to be Christians while their lives reflect the sins of the world rather than the light of God. One who does not show godly morals in their life cannot be a godly person. And one who is not a godly person is not a true Christian, because the ungodly cannot have God, and one cannot be godly while living immoral, sinful lives. Much is said about the moral fiber of America and family values needing to be restored to our society, but these pleas are ignored. The social sins of our society are evident by the decline of godly morals amongst us. And what has contributed to this decline in godly morality, and ultimately the decline of society itself? Well, there are several things that come to mind, including the abundance of profanity that's used on TV and in the movies. Drug and alcohol abuse has reached epidemic proportions. And alcohol is a drug, and is one mentioned in the Bible, Proverbs 23:29-35, and Galatians 5:21. The immoral sexual activities promoted in every field of entertainment in the world. Homosexuality being promoted as an accepted social norm. Euthanasia, suicide, abortions trying to legalize. Gambling is legalized and it's advertised. It violates the principle of gain by productivity. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. It steals a livelihood from the mouths of children and ruins home. Lying, cheating, and dishonesty permeates our society from top to bottom, and this list could just simply go on and on. The world needs godly morals because it is on a collision course with God. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Matthew 25:31-32. Yes, many nations will be turned away in God's judgment, because righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 14:34. And the wicked shall be turned into hell, and the nations that forget God. Psalm 9:17. But what is the meaning of morals? Well, according to Webster, Funk and Wagnalls, and Doubleday dictionaries, these definitions are given: of or pertaining to character and behavior from the point of view of right and wrong, good and virtuous in behavior, character, and so forth, especially sexual virtuous, concerned with the principles of right and wrong, ethical, moral values, capable of understanding the difference between right and wrong, a moral agent, conduct or behavior from the point of view of right and wrong, especially sexual conduct. The writer of the book of Hebrews understands the above definitions as he wrote concerning those who by reason of use have their senses, minds, or intellect exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews 5:14. I fear that the people of our world no longer know how to distinguish right from wrong, what the Hebrew writer called discerning good and evil. What standards should we use to determine whether or not an action, word, or thought is right or wrong? When we speak of godly morals, we are speaking of our manner of living and whether or not it is righteous or right, godly, holy, and upright, which concerns several areas, including how we dress, Genesis 3:7, and 1 Timothy 2:9-10. Note that these scriptures are intended to instruct both male and female gender. How we talk, Matthew 15:18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. Where we go, 1 Thessalonians 5:22 and 1 Corinthians 15:33. What we do, Colossians 3:17. What we look at, Matthew 5:28. How we think, 2 Corinthians 10:5 and Philippians 4:8. Friends, we are instructed in the Philippian letter to let our conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, Philippians 1:27. And the Apostle Peter, speaking of the end of time when all these physical things will be destroyed by fire, asks, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? 2 Peter 3:10-12. If there is a God, then He must set the standard for what is right and wrong. If there is no God, there can be no right or wrong. If there is no God, who will decide this issue? If there is no God, to whom shall we answer for our actions? But friends, there is a God. And since our God is real, man is not capable of determining his own way in life. Jeremiah 10:23. Solomon said that we think we know the way, but our way ends in death. Proverbs 16:25. Therefore, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all conduct. 1 Peter 1:15. As God is the only source of right and wrong, his word found only in the Bible is the only source of determining what is right and what is wrong. As Jesus stood before Pilate, he was asked, "What is truth?" John 18:38. Pilate could well have been asking, "What is right?" Jesus answers that question in his prayer recorded in John 17. As he prayed to God to sanctify them by thy word, for thy word is truth. John 17:17. He tells us in John 8:32 that this truth is that which frees us from the power of Satan, when he says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And David spoke of God's word and the things he has done in Psalm 33:4, when he says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth." A knowledge of God's word makes it so much easier to have godly morals. We all know and love the story of David as he tells of killing the lion and the bear, then as he faced the Philistine giant Goliath. 1 Samuel 17. We also know it was his trust in God's word which gave him the courage to do these things. David tells us that trust as he speaks of God's holy word. Listen to him. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Psalm 119:105. "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you." Psalm 119:11. Think for a moment about Adam and Eve in Genesis 2:3. The fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil was not poison to eat. Their eating of it was not immoral in the sense that we use the word. And the knowledge of God and evil did not, in and of itself, make them evil. The thing that was wrong in their eating of that fruit was that it was a violation of God's instructions. Do you suppose they ever regretted eating of that fruit? We see the result of people refusing to live good moral lives all around us. There's drugs, prostitution, vulgar language, disorder in our society, and on we could go. These and many other sins cause us to fear walking alone in many of our cities. If we ever have the peace and happiness we all want, it will be the direct result of our own godly morals. Philippians 4:7-8. If our society is to have order, it too will be a direct result of the people's return to God's word. Romans 13:1-7. As we again learn to honor the people, love the brotherhood, and fear God. 1 Peter 2:17. The last part of that verse tells us to honor our governing officials. It says, "Honor the king." The further away from God and the principles of morality which he sets forth in his Bible we get, the worse things get in the world. The only hope is to turn back to God in repentance and obedience to his will. Luke 13:3, Acts 17:30. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, "To fear God and keep his commandments is our whole duty." This also means it is our duty to live by and promote godly morals. To be a Christian implies that one is like Christ. And one becomes like Christ by following his example in life. 1 Peter 2:21-25 and Matthew 5:13-16. There can be no doubt that the world's greatest need is God, and only through godly people can the world see the workings of God as Christians become salt and light. One cannot be a godly person without the godly morals set forth in the inspired writings of Scripture and exemplified in the life of Christ. Listen to God as he speaks to us through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. "Do you not know that the ungodly will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." Friends, did you catch that? Some of the Christians to whom Paul was writing had been immoral. But Paul continues, "But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." Thus, when they obeyed the gospel and became Christians, they changed. They now have godly morals. They came out of the world of spiritual darkness and into the kingdom of his dear Son. Colossians 1:13. It is not just all the other people in the world. It is you personally and me personally who is on that collision course with God. And if we hope to have a happy life here and in the hereafter, we must begin by cultivating godly morals in our lives right now. Until next week, may God bless and keep you.